So let's see if I have something here to save us a little typing so that we'll have the extra time to get to the lab and apply these valuable lessons. Didn't you guys, I had the impression last night that this assignment 3 is just a bit harder than assignment 2. Yeah. Wait till we get to 5. Well, you can skip 5, but you have to have a 5 equivalent to do 6. 6 is where they start getting easier again. Okay, so, A3 demo, oh no. Boy, are we in trouble. My A3 demo file is empty. Where am I? My document? Yeah, but, okay, well, this will save us a little bit of typing. Okay, so here's our name class. String last. That pretty much is what we had, and then oh yeah, it's going to be last, isn't it? What's first equal to? You guys know a lot about this program. Did you see this before class? So what do I put in here? Public void set first string f. Is this f and the f and the function above it the same? It could have the same value, but are they the same variable?
No.
No, they just coincidentally have the same name, right? The arguments are local. They're local variables, so the scope of f and the scope of l in those two methods are independent of one another. But the variables first and last can be used in all of the methods because they're instance variables whose scope is the entire class. Could I put the declarations for first and last at the end of the class? Well, in some cases, what you'll see is there are some people who have the convention to put the private variables at the end of the class to reinforce the idea that they're private. Yeah. Well, I don't do it.
Conceptually, you said that a string is replaced when it's modified.
Yes. Well, what happens is a new string is created and the modifications are copied into it. Right.
Right.
Just a minute, I'm listening to stereo here.
Yeah.
The left speaker just said what? Oh, I have a null pointer. Anytime that you have a variable which is a class data type, like name or person or student, if you don't initialize those, they have the value of null. All variables of any class type have a default value of null until they've been instantiated somehow. And some of you have already got null pointer encountered or null pointer exception. An exception means an error. So null pointer exception means you attempted to use an object variable that hadn't been instantiated. You will get sensitive to those. Right now, you'll just get angry at them there. Okay, so now I have a very complicated name. Here's a person constructor. Oops, sting, string, that's a one of those music groups I get from the other program. Okay. So there, now we have basically we're back where we were, right? What do I need to add here? Public void. Set name gives me a chance to set the name from outside somewhere, maybe in assignment 4. And this allows me to retrieve it. Maybe I need to retrieve it in assignment 4 to print it out. Because we will use all of this. Everything you write in assignment 3 is going to be used in assignment 4. Okay, so I compile it. Yay, it still works. See, I'm going through, I'm making my changes, I'm compiling them. Compiling it without errors, does that mean there aren't errors in it? No, it means that the worst kind of errors are left. For example, not initializing last. It's because those are errors of logic. And you don't have anything in your brain to say where your logic went wrong. In fact, the human tendency is to think what? The rest of the universe logic went wacko and your logic is still intact. When we run into those kind of problems in the lab, you might start getting angry with me because you will explain to me why something is okay. And I will say something back to you like, be that as it may, it won't compile, or it won't run, or it doesn't work, okay? Which means your logic is fine, but your program is messed up, okay? So it has nothing to do with you. Just be aware of that. Because you will, by the end of the semester, get mad at me. Yes? Which line? Oh, yeah, let's throw it overboard. Who needs it? Yeah, no sense in confusing anybody. Okay, now our student needs an ID number. I'll just call it ID. No, I'll call it ID number so we know what it is. Say ID. Number equals minus 1, so I know if it's less than 0, it's a bogus ID number. And which technique am I going to use here? Which do you want me to use? This? If I use this, then I don't get to use super, right? Maybe I can do super in the next one and do this in this one. You want me to use super here? How many vote for super? How many vote for this? How many could care less? I'll use super this time and this next time. Okay, what is this line of code going to do in my program? It's going to call person. It's going to go to this line of code right here. Can I put this now? Why not? That should be the first line. If I attempt to compile it, it says method required but value found. In other words, the compiler doesn't know what I'm talking about. After that first line. What do you want me to have it equal to, like minus 3? is my default value. Now what? See, now what's this going to result in? It's going to result in code being called twice. I just want you guys to see that. Right, ID number is going to get set, and then it's going to get set again. It doesn't matter unless you're creating what we would call a whole herd of people. Right. What? Yes, I could, but I wanted to do this time for those people that wanted this the last time. Now I'm doing both. Right? That's fair, isn't it? Okay, and then I have public void set ID. So I could actually have called set ID in the previous method, right? There we have it. We compile it to make sure that it works at that stage. I haven't put any of the pieces together. All I'm doing is creating classes and compiling them to make sure they compile. Now I'm going to string them together. So I go to a3.java and I say student s equals new student. Now I can say s equals new student. And system.out.println s.name.getFirst. That's a different way of printing out the first name. Now, if I want to stick two strings together, I can use the plus operator. In Java, they don't normally have overloaded operators, but the string class, remember, it's special. It has an overloaded operator, which is the concatenation operator. So what this does is it says, take the first name, add a space to it, and then get the last name. Well, I'm going to do that in a minute. Oh, you want it? Okay, now another nice thing. Is that if you have a number as opposed to a string, and you want to convert that number to a string in the quick and easy way, the quick and easy way to do the conversion is simply concatenate it with the plus sign with any other string, including two double quotes. If you just have a pair of double quotes together, that's an empty string. You can say empty string plus integer, and it converts the integer to a string. So I just converted that number to a string so I can print it. The reason I had to do that is because the print line method and the print method only take one or no arguments. So I can't do like print A, comma B, comma C, comma D. There is no method in the, there's no print line method in out that allows me to do that. If I wanted to know what they are, you can see up there, there's a list of possible arguments to print line. Okay, so get first, get last, get ID. Make sure I got my parentheses okay. copy it. Don't get mad at me for not using Control C. Don't get mad at me for not using Control B, Z, whatever it is. Okay, and that's Chuck's sister, Charlene. And there's her ID number. Okay? So I compile it. Now I have done assignment 3. This is what you have to do assignment 3. I've created a superclass person. I've created the subclass student. I threw in a little extra. I put name in there so I would get extra credit because I'm going to need it when I get to assignment 5 and can't get it done. And then what I've done is I have created an object using each of the 3 constructors. So student is the subclass. Within the subclass, I have 3 different constructors, 3 different sets of arguments, and here I've demonstrated their use. Assignment 3, you have to do all of those things. So it is, once again, a step more difficult than assignment 2. Not only that, and it's a good thing you guys have a whole weekend to do this. Not only that, but you have to make up your own hierarchy. And if you change student to dog and person to animal and then just substitute all of this code verbatim, I will write a special message to you back. You want to know what it is? Because this is certainly a slippery way out of assignment 3. You're not going to learn anything if you do that. Well, you will learn something, but you won't learn as much. And this is like phys ed, right? In phys ed, nobody can do your homework but you. And Java's like that. You want to get strong in this language, you have to use it. Just like learning any language, right? You go to learn a language. If you don't use it, if all you do is you write down whatever someone else wrote down, you know nothing. You got to make up your own stuff, put your own words together, and have people laugh at you. That's the trick to learning a new language, right? You got to be willing to have people laugh at you. In this case, the compiler will laugh at you. Ah! You think that's code, I tell you it's nothing. Error-riddled cheese. Okay? Questions on what you're doing on assignment 3? Is this now more clear than last night? It should be. Because last night, really, I turned you loose with a very, very meager amount of knowledge just to see what would happen. It's due not today, correct? Or due today not? See, it's just like all these languages. You can mix and match the words, and it still makes sense. Interestingly, in my C class, I had a question, and it said, print 2 times the value. Now, in English, that means the value multiplied times 2. But if you take that grammar and you convert it to some other languages, like the A language, it means print it twice. Print 2 times the value. So, what the heck? There's just no telling what's going to happen. So, I accept all of the above. Any grammar is okay with me. The only grammar that you have to worry about in this class is getting the compiler to accept your Java grammar. And as you've seen, just from the simple examples we've had here, there are really literally dozens of ways to get a job done. The more classes you have, the more methods you have, the more ways there are to get the job done. Now, what we are doing for the lab tonight, if you forgot, we are going to a new place. We are taking an expedition. We are going over yonder, as they say, to the San Gabriel building. And for those of you who don't know where it is, you go across the campus, past the administration building will be on your left, When you get past the administration building, the San Gabriel building is on your right. You go along the sidewalk where the new construction is, and on your right-hand side, there's a door. You go in there, there's a sign that says SG-129 or some such. That's the San Gabriel Computer Lab. Go all the way to the back of that room. On the right-hand side is SG-137. That's where we're headed. If you get lost, just mill around out in the middle of the campus and I'll find you.
What about the building?